Welcome to this week's episode of FTR's Weekly Trucking Update podcast, hosted by Avery Weiss. Join Avery each week as he dissects everything from market trends to economic indicators to explore how these factors are shaping the trucking landscape. Download the graphics package at ftrintel.com/podcasts. And feel free to use those slides as you defend your transportation thought leadership within your own company. So, buckle up as we embark on a journey through the dynamic and ever-changing world of trucking. And now, here's your host, Avery Weiss.
Welcome to FTR's Weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 256 for the week of March 18th, 2024. Before we start, a reminder you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at ftrintel.com/podcast. We have lots to cover this week, so I'll make a greater effort to keep things moving and spend a little less time on each item than we might in a slower week. First, let's start with breaking-ish news, which is that a federal judge in California has rejected an effort by the California Trucking Association and the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, among others, to challenge once again California's AB 5 law, which essentially outlaws the leased owner-operator model in trucking. We won't get into all the arguments, and there were several, but Judge Roger Benitez rejected all of them. By the way, this is the same judge who granted the original preliminary injunction back in January of 2020. However, a federal appeals court overturned that injunction, and the U.S. Supreme Court cleared AB 5 to be enforced on motor carriers in June of 2022. The case is not necessarily over, as the parties can appeal, but it does appear that the litigation is winding down unless higher courts choose to take a different approach in reviewing them than they have so far. Another item I'll spend even less time on is a strategy announced last week by the Biden administration for rolling out charging and refueling infrastructure for electric and hydrogen-fueled commercial vehicles over the next 16 years, in other words, through 2040. It's a four-phase strategy that doesn't, at least as of now, have any money behind it, but if you're interested, you can find the 300-page-plus document at driveelectric.gov. Okay, let's get into the data, and we'll start with a look back at the fourth quarter of last year. A few weeks ago, we looked at not seasonally adjusted data for trucking revenues. Last week, we got seasonally adjusted data, and more important, in my mind, more granular data, and that's what we're going to focus on here. Revenues for general freight trucking firms rose in the fourth quarter of 2023, while specialized freight trucking revenues fell. However, those sequential moves do not really paint the full picture. While specialized revenues declined for four straight quarters on a seasonally adjusted basis, they're only about 6% below the peak, which was in the fourth quarter of 2022, according to the data from the Census Bureau's Quarterly Services Survey. Meanwhile, seasonally adjusted revenues for general freight trucking rose 3.4% in the fourth quarter of last year, but that increase followed five straight quarters of decreases. And general freight revenues in the fourth quarter were still down just over 16% from the peak in the second quarter of 2022. For all of 2023, general freight revenues were down 12% to $273.9 billion. Specialized freight revenues were down just under 1% to $133.1 billion. In both cases, 2023 revenues were the second highest on record after 2022. The slide deck accompanying this podcast also has charts showing seasonally adjusted quarterly data for all of truck transportation and parcel and local delivery. Okay, let's get into the weekly data. We'll start with diesel prices. After declining for 3 weeks, the national average retail price of on-highway diesel increased 2.4 cents to $4.28 a gallon during the week ended March 18th. The largest increases were in two of the largest regions in terms of sales volume. That would be the Gulf Coast and the Midwest. In both cases, diesel prices were up more than 4 cents on average. Prices were up 1.3 cents in both the Lower Atlantic and New England regions, but were down in all other regions. The increase in the national average was not especially surprising given recent increases in crude prices. West Texas Intermediate has closed above $80 a barrel in the last three trading sessions, and the closing price of $82.72 on March 18th was the highest since late October. In its March 12th short-term energy outlook, the Energy Information Administration reduced its 2024 global oil production forecast because of OPEC Plus extending crude oil production cuts. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended March 15th, which was week 11 of the year. Total broker posted rates increased 1.7 cents after ticking up 2/10 of a cent in the previous week. Rates were about 5% below the same 2023 week and more than 6% below the five-year average for the week. The total market rate has increased in four of the past 5 weeks, despite weakness in either dry van or refrigerated rates or both during those weeks. Dry van spot rates increased just under a cent after falling nearly 3 cents during the previous week. Rates were nearly 7% below the same week last year and almost 15% below the five-year average for the week. Dry van rates were less than 6 cents higher than they were in June of 2020 in the early stages of recovery from the pandemic collapse. Refrigerated spot rates increased about 4 cents after rising 2.5 cents during the prior week. This is the first time during 2024 that refrigerated rates have increased in consecutive weeks. They were more than 4% below the same week last year and about 12% below the five-year average. Rates for refrigerated equipment might be seeing some pre-Easter strength. Easter this year falls on the earliest date that it's fallen since 2016. And flatbed spot rates increased 1.7 cents after edging up 0.5 cents in the previous week. Rates are about 5% below the same week last year and 4.5% below the five-year average for the week. Rates, which were the highest since July of last year, were about 22 cents higher than current refrigerated rates and about 56 cents higher than current dry van rates. Let's look at volume. Total load activity rose 4.4% after increasing 1.6% during the prior week. Volume was up 1.5% from the same week last year, but was 31% below the five-year average. Dry van loads increased 5.2%. Volume was just over 1% above the same week last year, but was 31% below the five-year average. Refrigerated loads rose 7.4%. Volume was about 3% below the same 2023 week and nearly 39% below the five-year average. And flatbed loads rose 3.8%. Volume was almost 3% below the same week last year, but was more than 33% below the five-year average for the week. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates, which declined for the second straight week. Average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage declined to 6.74%, according to Freddie Mac, which stated, however, that continued inflation increases the chances that mortgage rates will remain high. Okay, let's get into the monthly indicators. In discussing January indicators in recent podcasts, we speculated that February indicators could show misleading strength since January activity in several key areas had been hit by severe winter weather in the middle of the month. Well, so far indicators are improving, but updated January data shows a bigger hit than previously indicated, and February's gains on top of that or in response to that did not offset those declines. Let's start with the industrial sector. Industrial production technically improved on a seasonally adjusted basis in February, but not significantly. In essence, differing weather conditions in January and February resulted in offsetting trends within manufacturing, mining, and utilities. Also, the Federal Reserve revised preliminary estimates for January and December downward. Total industrial production ticked up 0.1% month over month, following a downwardly revised 0.5% decline in January. A 7.5% drop in utilities output due to warmer weather nearly wiped out the combined 0.8% improvement in manufacturing output and a 2.2% increase in mining production. Manufacturing's improvement in February was broad-based, with gains in both durable and non-durable goods manufacturing. Among the strong performers month-over-month in durables were wood products, which were up 2.4%, and motor vehicles and parts, which were up 1.8%. Chemicals led growth in non-durables at 1.6%. Preliminary figures had shown manufacturing output down 0.5% month-over-month in January, but the revised estimate is a 1.1% decrease. Okay, let's look at consumer spending. The retail sector in February recovered some of its sales losses in January, although the Census Bureau lowered its preliminary figures for that month. Winter weather in January might have affected sales activity, although the case is somewhat less persuasive than it is for industrial production. In current dollars, retail and food service sales increased 0.6% after a 1.1% decrease in January. Adjusted for inflation, sales ticked up just over 0.1% after falling 1.4% in January, according to an estimate from the St. Louis Federal Reserve. Year over year, retail and food service sales were up 1.5% in current dollars, but real sales were down 1.6%. The sharpest February gains were in sectors that suffered the biggest hits in January. Sales for building materials and garden supplies dealers rose 2.2% in current dollars after dropping 4.3% in January. Sales for motor vehicles and parts dealers, which is the largest sector in dollar volume, rebounded 1.6% after falling a revised 2.1% in January. The only other major retail sector to see an increase of 1% or more in sales was electronics and appliance stores, which rose 1.5%. Also, revised January data showed those stores as having the largest month-over-month gain at 2.8%. Only one major retail sector, furniture and home furnishing stores, saw a decline of more than 1%. Sales for that sector also were far weaker in January than previously indicated, at an increase of just 0.2% from December rather than the initial 1.5% reported. Okay, let's touch on inventories. Inventories throughout the supply chain saw little change in January on a seasonally adjusted basis, but falling sales resulted in higher inventories to sales ratios. The total business ratio ticked up to 1.39, which was the highest since June. Inventories were higher relative to sales in each of the key sectors, manufacturing, wholesale, and retail. The manufacturing ratio was the highest since April. As we noted recently, based on advanced data, the wholesale ratio increased to 1.36 from 1.34 in December. And although the ratios for total retail and retail excluding automotive rose month over month, both are still very low by historical standards. The rest of the podcast is about inflation at both the consumer and producer level. We focus on inflation for a couple of reasons. First, as prices rise, we expect there to be negative impacts on volume of purchases, which of course translates into freight, and that's especially true among consumers. Another reason is that the producer level pricing does give us clues about what's happening with pricing in freight transportation services. Okay, let's start with consumers. Higher gasoline prices join stubbornly rising prices for shelter to accelerate consumer inflation a bit in February. The consumer price index for all items rose 0.4%, seasonally adjusted, for the largest increase since September. Gasoline and shelter together accounted for about 60% of the month-over-month increase. One area that moderated the CPI's gain was food, which was unchanged in February after rising 0.4% in January. The 12-month change in the all-items index was 3.2%, which was just 0.1% higher than it was in January. If we exclude volatile food and energy sectors, The CPI also rose 0.4% month over month, as did the all items index, but that merely matches the increase in January. The 12-month change in the index, excluding food and energy, was 3.8%, which was down from 3.9% in January. And finally, let's look at inflation within the supply chain. Gasoline prices also were a major factor behind that inflation, as the producer price index for final demand rose 0.6% seasonally adjusted. The month-over-month increase was the largest in 6 months. The 12-month change of 1.6% was the largest in September. Final demand goods accounted for 2/3 of the PPI increase, and the single largest factor in the goods increase was indeed gasoline. Diesel, as well as jet fuel, also were contributors. The producer price index, excluding food, energy, and trade services, rose 0.4% month over month, which was down from the 0.6% gain in the prior month. The 12-month change was 2.8%, up from 2.6% in January. The producer price indexes for freight transportation services mostly were higher in February, but preliminary data showed that the rail intermodal index fell 5% month over month, and that is one of the largest decreases on record. The principal trucking sectors also saw a small month over month increases. Arguably, the most significant trend in freight transportation services pricing during February and in recent months is the recent upturn in the index for freight transportation arrangement, or more simply, freight brokerage. After plunging through August of last year, the PPI has rebounded more than 15% with gains in 4 of the last 6 months. And even those other 2 months that saw decreases, those were November and January, those decreases were very small, both well under 1%. According to preliminary data, the PPI for freight transportation arrangement was down just 1.8% year-over-year in February, and that's after being down by as much as 30% year-over-year as recently as August. So what does this upturn tell us? It's really not clear. Although broker-posted spot rates paid to carriers are not signaling any inflection in the market, yes, as we talked about earlier, there was an increase in the latest week, but it was very small. And generally, we've been seeing decreases in dry van and refrigerated. The rebound in freight transportation arrangement producer price index indicates that shippers are paying brokers more for their services. Now, why is that? One interpretation, of course, is that shippers' route guides are not as fluid as they had been. That would lead to greater demand for brokerage. However, there is another possibility, and that is that broker margins simply had fallen to unsustainably low levels given current spot rates for carriers, and that necessitated a firming in pricing, even if that might come at the expense of volume. So that this is something we're going to be watching very carefully. I know everyone is looking for an inflection in the market. This certainly would be one indicator that might imply that is starting to happen. We're not really seeing it, though, in spot pricing or other other metrics in the spot market, with the exception of flatbed. And we certainly are not losing as much capacity as we probably will need to lose absent an upturn in freight. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. A federal judge rejected another attempt to stop California's AB5. The Biden administration released a strategy for rolling out zero emissions vehicle charging infrastructure and fueling infrastructure and freight corridors. General freight trucking revenues increased in Q4. Diesel prices rose for the first time in 4 weeks. Crude prices are the highest since October. Spot rates rose for all equipment types in the latest week. Mortgage rates fell for the second straight week. Manufacturing output rose in February, and retail sales recovered somewhat in February. Inventories were less lean in January. Consumer inflation accelerated a bit in February. Gasoline prices also fueled producer-level inflation, and the producer price index for freight brokerage continued to strengthen. So this week's podcast was a bit of a whirlwind journey through a whole lot of stuff. Good news, in a sense, I guess, is that next week will be much easier to digest. The only two monthly indicators on the docket at this point are residential construction and sales of existing homes. But of course, we'll have our usual recap of diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight, and perhaps a few other things that might pop up during the week. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 256 for the week of March 18th, 2024. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Trucking Update podcast with Avery Weiss. Be sure to check out FTR's additional complimentary market coverage at ftrintel.com/state-of-freight-today.